Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Founders Grid, sponsored by Gaper.io. Today we have Matthew. Matthew is the founder of Torchlight Consulting. Matthew, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So a brief background about yourself, what you've been doing prior to Torchlight Consulting.
Yeah, sure. Happy to talk about that. So before starting Torchlight Consulting, which I launched over the summer, I've been a founder operator of a number of startups. This went all the way back to my time as a college freshman when I launched my first business, which was an online ordering website for restaurants in the town of Ann Arbor, Michigan. Built that up over the course of 5 years and ended up selling it back in 2010. And from there, I completely caught the bug for being an entrepreneur. And I launched several businesses after that. So, you know, first business was called Gift Connect, and we dealt with celebrity sponsorships and programmatic ad buying, helping brands reach a broader marketplace of their customers through sponsorships. And after that, I worked in short-term property management and hospitality, built up a business called Makomi. Originally, it was called Metro Butler, and we ended up doing a pivot and relaunching a different brand. And that was helping people rent out their homes on the short-term rental economy. So sites like Airbnb and VRBO, we really handled all of the operational efficiencies and let people really just travel, rent out their homes while they were gone and make money doing so. So that's been, you know, kind of my path as an entrepreneur over the last almost 15 years. And really since the summer, I've temporarily hung up my founder's hat to get onto the consulting side, helping other people launch their businesses, especially at a time like this, when it's difficult to raise capital, when it's difficult to launch a business and find the right talent, given what we're going through with COVID. It seemed like a really necessary step to help others launch their dreams. And I've been really, really happy and excited to help so many founders be able to do so.
So interesting journey. So, you know, can you elaborate a bit more on Torchlight Consulting, you know, starting in the middle of pandemic and everything, you know, how's the journey been so far? How's the experience been so far?
Yeah. So a lot of my clients have actually come to me through referrals, organic inbound people who they're looking for something very specific in their startup. Sometimes they need to raise money. Sometimes they need the right strategic partners and introductions because they aren't part of that network. Sometimes they're looking for great co-founders. Sometimes they really need to build an operational or growth roadmap, you know, to get from stage A to stage B. So they've come to me through my website. They've come to me through referrals, through vendors that I've worked with, former employees and colleagues, knowing that I have founded my own businesses and helped them grow and been able to sell portions of the businesses off and raise millions of dollars for them. They really are looking for somebody who can help show them the way. And sometimes it's as simple as showing where the pitfalls are and how to avoid them. So much of being a founder is learning from experience and learning from your mistakes. So for a lot of first-time founders, they just kind of need to know what those basic mistakes are. So I've been working, you know, right now I'm working with about 15 different companies, some of them on longer-term projects, some of them on shorter-term. And it really is all over the map for the things that I named earlier, helping to build the right documentation, internal administrative materials, pitch documents, data rooms for helping to bring in capital, and then bringing on the right team to execute on growth and operations. Most of the companies that I work with, they really are all over the map. I don't deal with a lot of highly technical, highly scientific based companies. So not a lot in robotics and AI, not a lot in crypto, but anything that's consumer focused, anything that's B2B focused, whether we're talking about, you know, product or technology services, very comfortable with. And you know, my portfolio has a lot of those different types of companies.
That's interesting. So, okay, just maybe a key takeaway. What top three pieces of advice were you giving to founders last year around summer or fall? You know, because someone who had just started and got hit by multiple turbulence of COVID and those kind of things, you know, so what advice were you giving to them?
Yeah. So, you know, first is making sure that they really have conviction in what they're doing, that they believe that this is something that's sustainable, something that they were inspired by, and not just trying to capture the current moment of COVID. There's so much that we don't know about the economy, you know, people's marketing behaviors, how we're going to get out of this, whether it's a month from now or 6 months from now, that you see a lot of companies that, you know, somebody was sitting at home and saying, oh, I know what I can bring to the market, given what we're all going through regarding COVID. And that's not, you know, a sustainable business plan. That's trying to seize on some smaller opportunity. So for some of the companies that have come to me with ideas that are very COVID specific, I've really pushed them on trying to think bigger than that and how their business can still be very sustainable and growth centric, even beyond this current situation that we're in. So that's the first. Secondly, is to really look for the reasons to be optimistic about opportunity as opposed to being, you know, scared. Again, you know, this is related a lot to what we're dealing with right now and how much we don't know. But with kind of scary circumstances and an uncertain future, there is amazing opportunity. And I think that it's allowed so many of my founders to be creative, to think a little bit outside the box. And those are typically the companies that do the best is when they're thinking about a different way of dissecting things as opposed to just doing the same old and following the path that's been laid out by so many people before them. And then the third thing that I've really, you know, been stressing with a lot of the founders I've been working with is to have some conviction in putting on the blinders and not be as concerned with competitors and what they might be doing or how they might be following you. Not be as concerned with, you know, other influences, people that, you know, maybe want to be involved with them or help them, show them how they think that they should be doing things. Right now, if you don't have personal conviction in what you're doing and you haven't really very clearly delineated what you believe you're bringing to the market and how you can be successful. I think that there's a lot of noise out there with the uncertainty, and I'm trying to help my founders really focus in on what their core beliefs are and let that be their guiding star moving forward.
Got it. Interesting. So now kind of like shaping the conversation forward, we have the vaccine now, people are getting vaccinated. Hopefully we're at the end of the COVID whole situation, and in a few months time everything will be behind us, you know. So going forward, how do you see the world evolving? Do you think everyone would be sticking to the remote work culture, or would everyone be just rushing back to the offices, or will we have a hybrid version? How do you see it evolving?
I think it's going to be a hybrid of the two. We were seeing, I think, pretty massive forces pushing towards some type of remote work before COVID happened. I know that, you know, the company that I worked at, we went remote the November before COVID, having nothing to do with health, just having to do with efficiency, really encouraging people to travel, to move about. We wanted them to have very fulfilling work-life balance. And one of the ways that we were able to do that was through remote work, not to mention having a much larger distribution of talent to be able to recruit. If you have a single office, especially for a startup that usually only have one location, you really are limiting your potential employee pool by only hiring from one area. So I think that we've been moving towards more of a remote culture for work for really a year or two already. I don't see that slowing down. I think COVID has accelerated some of those themes, but I definitely anticipate moving into this next year, whether we're talking about 2021 or into 2022 and beyond. I think that more companies, especially larger companies, are going to be significantly more comfortable with having people have more flexible schedules, hybrid schedules of in-office as well as at home. So that's the first thing. I do think that when cities, especially the ones that are the most congested and highly populated, and have really seen a lot of decrease in happy hours and outdoor dining and crowded offices and conferences. I do think that we're going to see a huge boom in that once people feel safe, because they're going to be craving it. But after that initial rush, whether it's 6 months or a year of people being really excited to be around others again, I do think that we're going to start to witness a hybrid model where people are taking a little bit more advantage of working from home, working remotely, traveling more, having, you know, secondary homes or rental properties that they're staying in for short periods of time.
So, Melky, I'm really enjoying the talk, but, you know, my marketing team kind of like forces me to keep them within like 12 minutes. So my last question would be in regards to personal productivity hacks, you know, to be more productive during COVID, taking care of the mental health of yourself and the ones around you, you know, what changes you've adapted in your life? What have you started doing, especially, you know, living in New York, you know, where spaces are limited, but, you know, what have you adopted to cater to all of that?
Sure. I've been way, way more cognizant of keeping a routine. I think that when you spend every single day cooped up at home, especially if you're in, you know, a small apartment like I am in New York City, the days really tend to bleed into each other, and it becomes kind of this one large mass of a confusing haze from day to day. So really building out a routine that you can stick to, whether that means waking up at the same time every day, eating your breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the same time every day, going for a walk at the same time every day, working out at the same time every day. Having that structure, I think, really helps to keep your mind sharp. If you let that slip and you start to just eat whenever you're hungry or work out whenever you're motivated or watch TV whenever it is that you feel like watching it, I think that it makes you a little bit more unfocused and it's much harder to be productive. I think that when you're less productive, you take care of yourself a little less. When you take care of yourself a little bit less, you can slip into some bad habits, and you can certainly slip into, you know, things like anxiety and things like, you know, other mental difficulties. So I think that keeping a strict routine and really trying to hold yourself accountable to it will keep you sharper, more productive, and overall happier, since we're separated from a lot of the people that keep us the most happy anyway right now.
Matthew, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for everything. Take care of yourself and stay safe.
You too. I hope we get to see each other in person some point in the near future.
Hopefully this year. Hopefully before summer.
I hope this year. Have a good day.